Geek News Central, show number 613 for September 24th, 2010. Geek News Central is sponsored by GoDaddy.com, Citrix, GoToMeeting, and Infusionsoft.com. Geek News Central is a program of the Tech Podcast Network. Everyone, I got a great show for you tonight. We're going to talk about the new Roku, apps on the Apple TV, perhaps, conspiracy in the Valley, and a new music pirating software that is taking the peer-to-peer community by storm. I got a great show for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Everyone, you know, I had to laugh here because as the intro was running, I reached over to the Mac, and you guys can see it sitting over here, and I had forgot to start the Ustream downstream play, and you know, it kind of surprised me because a Subaru commercial was starting, and the commercial itself was, how should I say it, not appropriate for this show. I have no idea what was being said on the in the actual commercial, but I thought, yeah, that's a great ad to start on Ustream. So, oh boy! But anyway, for those of you that are checking out the show for the very first time, welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. I'm kind of multitasking here, and I apologize for not looking at you in the camera, but. For those of you that are new, welcome to the show. And those, of course, watching on Ustream, watching on Justin.tv, watching on the Roku, watching on the Unboxy, or even catching us on YouTube at a later date. Hey, thanks for being here. Of course, we want to give a very warm welcome to our longtime listeners, those of you that are really the core audience behind this show, those of you that are part of the Ohana. And of course, all of you are part of the of Ohana just by watching, listening to the show, and becoming a family, part of our family here. And you know, my wife was telling me after the last show, because what I've been doing is I've been experimenting a little bit with some things, and I've been dropping them up on, actually, when they go up on the Roku, we've been going and watching the quality of the video, and everything's looking. I just noticed I maybe moved the camera around a little bit. As a matter of fact, I know that the camera. Video whiteness is way up too much tonight. But that being said, she goes, you need to relax. She goes, you're like a machine. She says, all you're doing is going. And it's like a machine gun. She says, you need to relax and have a little more fun. And she never makes comments about the show. And so I said, you know, honey, you know, maybe you're right. So I'm going to try to be lightened up and as lightened. So we'll see how it goes. But usually when your significant other tells you something like that, you have to kind of, you know, you really look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know, is she hitting the nail on the head? So anyway, I'm going to be trying a more non-robotic and having more fun on the show. But if you're part of the Ohana, you know how I am. Thanks for being here, and thanks for being part of the family. Of course, we have listeners that are tuned in 172 or 3 countries worldwide, and we want to thank you guys for being here, too. Want to make sure you get over and sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that really I talk about tonight, including links that listeners and viewers like you send the show. And if you send me a comment, and if you've got a blog, make sure you put in there your blog information too, so I can give you credit for that. But you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And if you really want to leave, That's repeat three or four times. If you want to really sound off, basically call our hotline at 619-342-7365. Again, 619-342-7365. And then you can just go ahead and rant on me for a couple of minutes if you so desire. Of course, most importantly, we want you to subscribe to the show. The show is really, downloadable. Basically, you can get it anytime, any place, and that's probably the most important thing. And let's see if I can get this. You know what I did? it's one of the things when you're having an evening where you're ahead of schedule and you're not following your normal script of doing things, and when you get in trouble. And this is one of those nights. So okay, keep changes. Yes, we want to do that. But anyway, I was going to show you guys how you could subscribe to the show, and it's really simple. You basically go over to geeknewscentral.com, and once you get over there we go. Once you get over there, you'll see an orange box on the website that says subscribe, and you can see blog, podcast, video, iTunes, Zune, and basically just go ahead and whichever, whichever way you are getting new media and how you're consuming it either through iTunes or the Zune Marketplace, feel free to subscribe to the show. Of course, the podcast link for the RSS feed is there if you're using a different kind of player. So feel free to subscribe to the show, and that way you'll never miss a single episode of the Geekness Central podcast. As well, we are obviously working on continuing the distribution of the show, and I know that we're shortly going to be up on the main BlackBerry podcast platform. If you have a BlackBerry, you're going to be able to subscribe that way. There's multiple ways to get the show, and please do. Hey, this show in part really is taken care of by our sponsors, and our sponsors really make things happen for us and allow me to do the things that I do, really by traveling and going to different events and doing upgrades on the studio. So if you're looking for a product and service to support and a company to get behind, we hope that you'll get behind our sponsors, because really they're the ones to take care of me, and I hope that you'll take care of them. So when you're considering doing stuff on the web, obviously the place you want to go is GoDaddy. GoDaddy has great products and services. I was looking a little bit more at their hosting accounts today, and they have a comparison page up there. And I said, okay, GoDaddy, great, you've got some comparisons up there, but let me go and look at a couple of other sites and see how the prices stack up. And be honest with you, I looked at about five different other hosting sites that I kind of knew right off the top of my head, and GoDaddy has got the absolute best value when it comes to web hosting. Shared web hosting, definitely, they're very hard to beat. And, you can save a lot of money by using my promo codes when you go over to GoDaddy.com. Our Todd20 code will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. That's so if you sign up for a one-year account, in other words, 12 months, and use Todd20 at the checkout counter, you'll save 20%. Of course, you can pick up new domains and whatever else you're looking for making an online presence. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd will save you 10%. Our ComSale and ComSale 2 codes will get you new .coms, and the ComSale will get you renewals on .coms. ComSale 2 will save you money on .coms. And for new customers, don't forget that Geek199 code. This is perfect for anyone that is just getting started. Get your $1.99 domain name at GoDaddy.com. All right, so thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here, and we definitely appreciate their continued support of the show. Let me talk a little bit about an incident that happened to Geek News Central over the last, yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Well, I lose track of time. I woke up in the morning. I normally get up about 5:15, check on the kids. Don't quite get ready to them get woke up yet. I start waking them up at about 5:45 and come out in the office and turn the computer monitor on, and I load email first thing. And second thing I do is load my browser to see what the writers at Geek News Central have written about. And the page doesn't load. I go, So I type in Google, and Google comes up. So I know it's not the internet. I know the internet's working the way it should. And I said, okay, so let me, and I have another site on another server that I run over to GoDaddy and I punched that in, and that server didn't come online. And I was like, that site didn't come up. So I said, okay, it can't be two servers having an issue. Let me go ahead and look at one of our websites over at Blueberry. And sure enough, there was an issue over there. And that's so now I start panicking. And turns out that our DNS provider was under a denial of service attack, and they were having major troubles keeping the DNS services up. So, you know, I'm on the phone to Angelo. This happened about a year ago, back in May of 2009. And I say, hey, these guys are under denial of service attack again. I said, can these guys continue to be trusted? What are we going to do? And he says, I got a solution. And he called me back in 15 minutes. And he says, okay, it'll take a little while, maybe about an hour to propagate. But he says, just hit your credit card because we needed to add a secondary DNS provider. And I was like, okay. And sure enough, he did. And really things kind of started smoothing out from there. A lesson learned on our part, we'd relied on what we thought was a very robust, great DNS provider. They have POPs all over the country, so it wasn't like we thought, okay, they got POPs here, here, and here. If a few servers go down, we're still going to be up and online. But their whole system was under attack, and when their whole system's under attack and you're trying to reach the website, and the way the DNS system works is when you type in geeknewscentral.com, it has to reach out to a register for a IP lookup. It says, okay, this Todd server's over at this IP, and it sends you over to the website. And if that doesn't respond, then you're not getting here. So we're down for a little bit, but things are up to speed. And actually, I've got to get all my servers and all my stuff now put up on a secondary DNS as well. Angela took care of all the raw voice stuff, and I got to go in and say, okay, how'd you do that? Show me what you did, and we'll get that fixed. Hey, I did watch Hawaii 5-0. I told you guys that the premiere was on this week, and I'm pretty impressed. There was a few things in there that were kind of hokey, but they sure have some absolutely stunning, beautiful air shots of Hawaii. And if nothing else, it'll give you the idea of what it's like to live here. And I hope that you will take the good within the show. And obviously, it's just a show. It's not reality. If you don't watch reality, you can watch a dog chasing around criminals that are in this state. But check out Hawaii 5-0. I think it's going to be a good series. For those of you who asked, the eyeball's doing better. And I want to thank everyone for their concerns on that. Hey, I just wanted tonight to share with you guys just a little bit. Every quarter, because of what I do, this show is, my joy. It's where I have a time to relax and share with you guys. And really, there's no pressure for me on this show. And, I continue to experiment and build the show up. And we've come a long way. We really have. If you think about when we started in October of 2004, and of course, we're going to be having our 6-year anniversary next month. But if you think about where we've come since then, it's really quite remarkable. And, I'm always striving for more and more. I want to continue to build the show. And sometimes that can be a little bit getting away, of having fun. But one thing that is pretty stressful is every quarter, January 1st, April 1st, January 1st, March, April 1st, July 1st, and October 1st is the start of a new quarter. And this is where we have to, number one, have all the new contracts signed with the advertisers. I have to get all the podcasters ramped up and get going. But really, it starts about a month before. And really, I've been, in this entire month, I've been crushed, absolutely crushed, really working very hard with the advertisers to keep them happy. They want to tweak things. They want to change a few things here. They want to change focus. And it leads to a lot of uncertainties, and it leads to a lot of, for me, being from some aspect very frustrated, because I've got on front, I'm making sure that the advertisers are taken care of, but at the same time, and this thing again, we're talking about what I do at Raw Voice and working with the 6,000 content creators we represent over there, but at the same time, I'm working really. There's company stuff and everything else. So my stress level goes up to here, really it, it, explodes. And the amount of work that goes into proposals, and sometimes those are months in work. You know, I have stuff that I started back in like April that still hasn't punched yet. And, you know, here we are almost into October. So I get a little punchy. And if you guys see that I'm a little uptight and there's a lot of stress and uncertainties. And plus, a lot of times, sometimes the content creators themselves just drive me nuts because I love them. I love them to death. Don't get me wrong. I really, really do. But there are times when I say, read the instructions. Read what we put in the system for you. Read what you agreed to. Read what you were supposed to do. And for the most part, 90% do what they're supposed to. But this is the other 10% that I have to come in and be, you know, the hammer. And I hate being the hammer. At this point, 6 years in, I'm like, I just don't want to deal with those individuals anymore. And this is a business, and we try to work with folks in a business sense. We want everyone to do stuff. So it just adds up. It's, you know, you got both sides of the fence you're trying to work. And, but, you know, that's what, don't get me wrong. I love what I do, and it's what we strive to do. But sometimes I'm like, find me a concrete wall to bash my head against a few times and make myself feel better. Last night was one of those nights I was like, just forget it. And I left the office and just went mind numbing and just watched TV for like 4 hours. And sometimes you just got to disconnect. You really do. Well, what the heck does that have to do with tech? Nothing. But I just wanted to share with you guys my joy and my pleasure and how I try not to be a robot on the show. So that's kind of a little bit of a insider view of the show and an insider view of me. It is what it is. And it's just a work in progress. It's a great experience. Who would have ever imagined from a hotel room in Texas to what this thing has grown to is just, it's unbelievable. It really is. And we got bigger things coming. It's just, you know, I see stuff every day. I'm like, come on, guys, this is going, look where we're going. And we're on the cusp. We're on the cusp of some really big, big things. And it's exciting. It's an exciting time. It really, really is. Okay, move on from here. Hey. Live page show. It's under work, Sam. Yes, we have finally got that stacked in the stuff to do, and the developer's working on the live page. So I'm hoping that's going to be done soon. Of course, we're going to be giving away an Apple TV on the next show. So if you have become an insider, and you are already an insider, you have a chance to win the Apple TV. We'll start the new Roku giveaway on the next show, so that we're not running two contests consecutively. Actually, we're going to give away the Roku that we never could deliver to the winner of it. So we'll get that Roku contest re-going again and have that kicked off on the next show, and we'll give away the Apple TV, which I hear is starting to ship, and we'll talk a little bit more about Apple TV a little later. You know, what's important in life? Reduce cost. Some of you like to travel, but not for business. Productivity is important, keeping productivity up. If you're in a business, sales or whatever your business is derived around increasing that resource. Simplicity, having something that just works time and time again. And more importantly, security. Security is a big deal now with everything moving to the cloud, and you want to make sure conversations and stuff that you have is secure. And really, too, something that's affordable. Well, we have all of that in our sponsor's product, GoToMeeting. You know, GoToMeeting allows you and your company or companies that you work with to get more done and make more money. And that's what it boils down to, and drive costs down by not having to get in a car or get on an airplane. And, you know, you can do anything from sales calls to a project meeting, you name it. If you can do it online, you can do it on your computer, you can have an online session with GoToMeeting to do that. And it can be yours, really, for free for 30 days by going to GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast for your free 30-day trial. And thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. Okay, let's go ahead and let me load the stack of stuff I've got here and hope. You know what? I know what's wrong with the camera. I bought a new tripod because the one I had really wasn't appropriate. And really what I'm doing is I'm trying different tripods out for the, so when we're ready to go to Vegas for CES 2011, and I got this thing closer to me. It's actually supposed to be back about 2 feet. I said, why is my head so big? And I wore this nice Aloha shirt for you guys tonight. And I'm like, why is that? What's, and I know I didn't move the camera back. I got to make myself a list. I'm horrible. All right. Anyway, let's go ahead. I got a huge amount of stuff. And I'll be honest with you. Ever since we got the suggestions on the sites that you guys are reading and you submitted all that data to me, your top sites, man, it's been a goldmine of information. It was the best little promotion I've done on the show in a long time. We're going to have to do it again. But let's talk just a little bit about Blockbuster. Boy. Man, it's been a long ride for Blockbuster, but it looks like the ride is just about over. And really, they've been slaughtered by Netflix. And at this point, you know, the rise and fall of Blockbuster is probably making an epic movie. KL did a good article, a good write-up about the pending filing of a Chapter 11 bankruptcy proceedings for Blockbuster. You know, it wasn't too many. Think about how long Blockbuster has been around. You know, when VHS tapes started selling, you know, you go into Blockbuster and it was just, you know, wall-to-wall movies, right? And, of course, when things switched to DVD and then, you know, boy, it's really been a long ride for them. But the party's over and they're just about ready to stick a fork in them. But we'll see what happens if someone buys the company or if they reinvent themselves. I don't know. But Redbox and Netflix have simply just, you know, cost them a lot of business. There's near my kid's school, there's a Blockbuster store. And every once in a while, we'll go by that area. I never see anyone in that store. It's still open. I think it's still open. But I never see anyone in there. But, you know, that's one of the reasons why they're headed out. Hey, one thing I didn't talk about in the beginning of the show today, hey, is Blog World. Blog World and New Media Expo is coming quickly. Obviously, I wrote a big blog post up on it on the website, and I hope that if you are a new media creator and you can muster the dollars and the airplane fare to come out, you definitely want to consider coming out to Blog World because it is going to be a great event. It's going to be a great networking event, lots of learning. I'm going to tell you, I have a session that it's entitled The Triple Play, Streaming, Podcasting, Blogging as a way to accelerate your show's growth and distribution. And if my prediction is this is going to be the best session of the whole show. I've got some revealing stuff to talk about. It's going to be a good hour, 45 minutes of fire hose of trade secrets, things that I've learned, things that I know it's coming. I think it's going to be good. I know it's going to be great. So if you're thinking about coming out to a Blog World, I hope that you'll attend my session. That'll be on Saturday, I think at 12:30 is when it starts. Of course, Angelo and Brian are going to be doing their fun session on blogging, podcasting, sitting in a tree, optimizing a WordPress site for your podcast. So that'll be on Saturday as well, Saturday afternoon. So we look forward to being out there, and we hope that you'll join us in Vegas. If you're part of the Ohana, part of the show audience, and you're in Vegas, you know, we're going to be staying at the Mandalay Bay, so come down and see us. If nothing else, come out in the evening and say hi, and there'll be a night where we're going to be having a little bit of a party, and anyone that's part of the Ohana can come out and just say hello. Don't feel like you're party crashing. It's part of the process of networking and meeting content creators and so forth. Hey, the folks over at Android Central, and I have to laugh. These guys cover a lot of stuff beyond Android. And they found a YouTube video that explains it all. And, you know, it really does. And all I can really say is, I'm just going to play just a little bit of this. You guys will be able to hear this that are not listening on the audio portion. But just imagine you're seeing, really kind of like five really square office guys that, you know, would be your typical guys that are using Blackberries. And here's the video, first part of it. Uh-oh, what happened? There we go.
We wear cool suits. We wear shiny shoes. We're the Blackberry
So it ends by saying, here we've got five guys that start dancing, for those of you that are listening, and then you're joined little by little by ladies and, you know, hip people, and then next thing you know, you got this whole crowd, right? And it ends by saying, BlackBerry on Vodafone, prepaid, not just for the guys. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to reinvent BlackBerry from being like this, you know, office guys having BlackBerries. It's a good video. I don't know if it's obviously something Vodafone put together. But it's up on YouTube. They haven't asked for it to take down. So it must be, it's going to be all right to cover, but I think you guys will get a kick out of it. Just go over and check it out. I have the link up in the show notes for you to do that. And you can get the show notes delivered directly to your email box by signing up for the newsletter. Okay, Hotmail. I tried logging into my Hotmail account and I think they deleted it. So if anybody wants my old Hotmail address, you can go ahead and just go grab it. But Hotmail has updated itself and it's bringing Facebook chat, video integration, and more into Hotmail. Why would you want video integration in Hotmail? I can understand having Facebook chat, but I just don't get the whole, I guess it's the investment Microsoft made or something. Hotmail users can now chat with their Facebook friends from the comfort of their inbox. I don't get it. I really don't. Why would you have Facebook chat in your Hotmail account? Please, someone help me. I don't get this one. I really don't. Anyway, that one's courtesy of DownloadSquad.com. Hey, the folks at Roku today updated their entire line of players. They refreshed the player lineup. And guess what? it's not a hockey puck, but they did come up with, it's smaller. The Roku has shrinked. And the new XDS model, and the model numbers stayed the same. Here's the odd thing that they did with this. The model number stayed the same, but it's now inch thick and does full 1080p on the XD version. So you got to get XD and above. Another thing they did was on the XDS, which is $99, you can now stick a memory stick or a USB drive into the device and play your own videos. From, you know, you just, it'll take an MP4, M4V, MOV, and you can put, oh, there's a nice ad that popped up. Isn't that nice of them? So anyway, I ordered a new one. I ordered a $99 one. I'll have one here in a couple of days. You know, hey, Roku guys, I love you guys. I mean, one of your biggest fans. Huge numbers of people on my show watch me on the Roku. Why didn't you send me one? I'm just, you know, I'm kind of, they sent one to Engadget, Gizmodo, eHome Upgrade, CNET. Don't forget the small guys, all right? Next time, okay? I love you, but come on, you know, could have helped you. So anyway, it is what it is. But again, Netflix, Amazon Videos, Tech Podcast Channel, Blueberry Channel, ProMed Channel, soon coming the Travelcast Channel. Again, still $59 and $99 respectively. It's not a hockey puck, but it definitely is about as small. And then you got a new remote too. And you can do rewind with it now, which is kind of cool. So, anyway, go out and if you haven't bought a Roku yet, it's a great way, or try to win one on the show. Great way to watch a variety of content, including this show. All right. Hey, motion sensor equipped high saver power source. We covered this at CES and I just don't understand really this particular green product. It's from the folks at High Saver and the folks over at Engadget covered this. But I think they covered it at CES too. But what this does, this is a motion sensor equipped power strip. It cuts power when you leave the room. So if you leave the room, it shuts a number of the peripherals off. You have one of them remain on, but if you leave the room, it'll shut your printer off. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm in and out of this room, this office, you know, 50 times a day. So I can see myself walking out, you know, a couple of minutes later, it shuts down my printer, and I walk back in, and I don't know if this thing automatically, here's what it is. If it doesn't detect motion for 10 minutes, it shuts down. So maybe that's the word, but it's not available in the United States yet, but it's available in Canada. So it's cost you between $30 and $50. There's five plugs on it. So this might be something to consider for your computer or different peripherals that you want to shut down. But we'd seen this at the show. I just want a set of power strips that know when my transformers that are plugged into them are not charging. That's all I want. That's, you know, and then if it knows it's not charging, it's not drawing anything, shut the circuit off. You know, then if you see power draw again, turn the circuit on. Can they not make that? Wouldn't that save us all billions and billions of kilowatts a year? Instead, they got to go to this fancy thing of having this motion sensor. I guess this one I fully don't get. Anyway, you guys can see this. If you guys think that this is going to be a product that's going to work well for you, I'd love to hear your feedback on it, of course, at geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, Adobe is showing off some advanced technology. It's really not in the mainstream yet. There's no cameras available, but they're showing off what they're calling a plenoptic lens that lets you refocus an image after it's taken. So, you know, you've taken these images, they're a little, and you say, oh man, I wish I had that one in focus. Well, they've got it so if a camera has, so what it does is this plenoptic lens fits in between the actual camera lens. It's like kind of a secondary lens that's out in front of that. And or layered on there, and it basically allows the software then to refocus the actual image if it's out of focus. By the way, it takes in more data, I guess, in the way it shoots the picture. There's a good description of it on the page. I have it linked up here too, but this is not in any cameras yet. It's probably going to be a while before it's deployed. Cool technology. And at some point, I'm sure we'll see it. And, you know, these types of things usually appear a couple of years after they're initially introduced like this. Hey, the FCC did a big thing. Of course, we talked about the white space already, and that really their announcement that they're going to open up the white space. And really, for those of you that aren't following what the white space is, it's really the frequency in between active digital television channels. It's, you know, you go from channel, just to use an example here, 81 to 82, there's a little bit of white space in between those two frequencies. Or, and again, that isn't really a good representation, but they're segmented. There's a little bit of space in there. So the FCC is going to open up the white space for super Wi-Fi. And a lot of folks are very happy about this. Microsoft is, Google is. And because that frequency range is such that it goes through walls, concrete walls, and it's not like it's easily blocked like the current Wi-Fi signals are. So it could mean, you know, a revitalization or even taking a $1 billion industry that is in wireless already and move it into, you know, multiple billions by expanding range and bringing new services online. Hey, the Netflix folks are promising streaming only option for United States customers over the couple months. Now, what they're going to do, what they've done in Canada, is Canada's streaming only plan is $7.99 Canadian monthly. Would you be willing to drop your DVD deliveries just for streaming? Now, personally, I wouldn't, because we've got two DVDs sitting on the counter in there that are not available on the stream. So I'm still paying, you know, well, I really don't have no option, because there's only one option right now for those of us United States. So, but would you drop your DVD delivery and go stream only? I don't know. I don't think I would at this point, unless they can get all the movies into the streaming availability. Now, with the soon to be introduction of the Apple TV, the folks at folks that control all the movies are not real happy with Apple, because they're saying, and specifically NBC Universal is saying, the 99-cent rental would devalue content And News Corp calls them a short-term test. Now, this is for, like, television programming. This is not necessarily for movies, because I think we're still looking at $3.99 for most movies, or first-run movies, but maybe 99 cents for older movies. But ABC and Fox are apparently willing to let their TV shows go for 99 cents a pop, but NBC Universal is not joining those ranks at this point. They quote-unquote say, we do not think 99 cents is the right price for our content, at an investor conference call earlier this week. He says, noting the NBC shows are indeed present on iTunes for those willing to shell $1.99. He said, that's not only the bad news for the on-demand enthusiasts, as News Corp is apparently reconsidering its stance. So, okay, I missed the first show of the event. And I said, okay, I'll just go over to Hulu on my, because I'm not a Hulu user. I haven't been a Hulu user. I'll go over to Hulu and watch the event on Hulu. And, oh no, get out your credit card if you want to use Hulu with your iPad. At least that's the little pop-up thing that came up. So I really didn't have a lot of time to mess with it. I'm sure some of you are going to correct me here, but it just looked like to me it was a solicitation to pay them money. But long story short here is that it just wasn't a cool experience. It wasn't easy. And would I pay 99 cents to watch the event? Absolutely. I sure would have because I wanted to see it, but I had failed to program my DVR correctly. So, will you pay for 99 cents for your favorite TV shows with commercials? I don't know. Would you do $1.99? I don't think I would. So anyway, that's kind of what's coming, what we can expect. And you know what? Once you get 99 cents, there's really no way to go back, right? They introduced that. That's what consumers are going. Steve isn't stupid. You know, obviously he says, hey, 99 cents, that's the sweet spot for consumers. Consumers are going to rent a lot of more 99 cent content than they're going to rent $1.99, that's for sure. So time will tell on that, won't it? Hey, over at Hack College, and I guess their show is, looks like they have Intel as a sponsor. They've done some, they've got all kinds of stuff buried in their videos too. And actually, they got a cool thing on their blip.tv player that I haven't seen before. I'm going to see if that's available for my show. But Hack College has a question for you. If you had to go a week without a computer, could you do it? So we're talking about, this is directed primarily at students, but let's think about besides work. If you had to stop using your computer for a week, would it be possible? Would you be able to function? Would you be able to get done what you needed to get done? Could you still pay bills the old-fashioned way? So in other words, can you live without your computer for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month? Right after 9/11, I went 78 days. So that's a question. So a question for you. Send it, respond, geeknews@gmail.com. I have the link up to the video that they actually asked college kids. They asked college kids this in a Hack College video. So I'll have that linked up for you. Over at makingwindowseasy.com, they have they're highlighting a new app. It's a new web app called Watchin, W-A-C-C-H-E-N. It's an app that allows you to bookmark web videos so that you can watch them later. It supports nearly 70 online video services, including YouTube, Viddler, Reverb, Blip TV, Justin TV, and so forth. So this is pretty cool. You just you sign up for this, and you receive a special little bookmark that you add to your browser. And then when you're on a YouTube or a Blip video or whatever it may be, you say, I'm going to watch this later, but I don't have time. You click it, and it puts it in a special queue in the system, and it won't be just like a regular bookmark. It's something you can get rid of after you watch the video. So pretty cool. Hey, Verizon today, boy, oh, boy, this should not come as a surprise. Everyone's in the mood to dance with the rates, but Verizon's communications chief said he expects soon to start charging wireless customers based on their internet data usage. Yes, and introduce new plans with limits. So we know that AT&T already made the move to this, but said that Verizon new data plans, which will likely roll out over the next 4 to 6 months, probably in anticipation of the iPhone, would be different from AT&T's plans, but he didn't provide any details. So if you're looking to upgrade your phone or do some changes, you may want to lock in some, you know, your next deal, because Verizon looks like they're about to put the hammer down on us. They have to. They're desperate. Their business model is all being impacted. It's about profits. And, you know, you look at their profitability statement. I don't think they're doing too bad. They're making money, you know. Just go ahead and run their sticker on Google or Bing, and you'll be able to see, you know, what their earnings report is. Over on GigaOm, and this is, when I saw this technology at, I believe, CES 2009 or 2010, I really kind of scratched my head, too. I know this is semi-popular in Japan, but do you guys know, are any of you using TV anywhere? In other words, you've got TV in the house, but when you walk outside the house, you have a little device that you can watch TV on. And it has a limited selection of different types of videos on demand and so forth. Are any of you guys using that? So in this article, it talks about Comcast and Time Warner leading a charge for TV everywhere services. I guess it was beginning last year in 2009, and they had announced a bunch of partnerships and so forth. But it's not taken off, and I guess I kind of understand this, you know, because when we're in transit going somewhere, I don't want to watch TV. Maybe the kids would in the back of the car, but I'm not going to buy a special device and spend special money to do that. But they're saying that one, and this is, you know, I think that's the basic reason, but it says one reason that other networks have been slow to introduce TV everywhere offerings is that there's no financial incentive to do so. And it kind of goes back to some of those conversations I had at the Set-Top Box conference. There's no money, they're not going to do it. So that kind of gets what it boils down to. But I'm just kind of curious, is anyone in this audience, if you do, just, you know, drop me an email. And someone's got to be using some of these TV Everywhere apps or devices. If you're not, if we don't hear from anybody, that will be a telltale sign. As we talked about in the beginning of the show, Apple TV is preparing to ship. They're preparing to ship the devices. And I'm, you know, we're here to the 23rd of September. And some people are starting to see their credit cards getting charged, which means that they'll be moving here in the next few days. I ordered immediately, within just a, you know, probably 90 minutes or so of it being announced. So hopefully I'm on the first wave of deliveries here. But here's something even more interesting about what's being floated for the really the first time. An Apple intern made a Twitter post that they have been working all summer on an Apple TV app. Yeah, you heard me correctly. You know, from the very beginning, when Steve Jobs announced the Apple TV, and he said, you know, went through his whole spiel, and I'm like, where's the rest? Where's the meat? Where's the apps? And when he didn't announce it, I was like, something is wrong. How could they have made a monumental mistake like this? You know, and the more I thought about it, you know, people say, oh, it'll be later in a couple of years. And he said that he wants to have this so it's a good experience. Well, it's about control and about the revenue, but I can't believe they've left the apps on the table. Well, at least three different organizations are saying that they're working it. Now, there's no timeline. So, an intern had described their summer position as an Apple TV apps engineer on the professional networking site. So, we'll see. Are we going to get a widget? Are we going to get some apps? Brian, if you're listening, we have to talk. And Brian's my creative guy at Raw Voice. So we're already planning. We had been planning just in case there was one announced earlier in the month, but it only makes sense. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I wouldn't expect it right away, but I can't imagine it going much beyond. You know, to Christmas, he's got to have something else that's going to entice people to buy the device. All right, I'm going to start. Every once in a while, I'm going to cover a stupid device of the day, and this one is just like I don't get it. You know, all of us want to capture family history on pictures and what's, you know, you see, and we've all opened up our grandparents' photo albums and looked at pictures and said, who's this? Who's that? Who's this? Who's that? What's the story behind this picture? And generally, we forget because it's just, you know, it's something that doesn't stick real well. So there's always been a market for a way to capture this information. There's always been, you know, and my thought process was as I videotaped my grandparents and I asked them a series of questions, you know, how did you meet? What did you do? And, you know, I just went through all these basic questions that only they can answer. And well, thank God I did, because, you know, I've lost on my dad's side, my mom's side, both of my grandparents. And so I got all this great information. I've got it on, you know, I've got it all recorded digitally. So when I saw the photo album storyteller product for $99, I said, first of all, that's kind of cool. And I thought, this thing must have a scanner or something. And what we've got is it looks like a little device. It's got a little handheld where you push a button. It's got a speaker on it. And he's holding it over the top of a picture. Well, what they've done here is really dumb. It doesn't have a scanner on it, and it doesn't recognize the picture from scanning the picture. What it does is you have to put like a little Band-Aid, and it quite literally looks like this gaudy, god-awful Band-Aid on your photo album. You've got to scan that. Then you have people press the button, and they record, oh, that's just about so-and-so and so-and-so. I'm looking at this device. I'm like, okay, I kind of get it. I understand that the Band-Aids that you have to put on, you know, this is basically a little barcode reader. How many pictures can they annotate? Well, for $99, you get 500 of those little stickers. And it doesn't say how long you can record. It doesn't talk about if you can offload this stuff once it's been recorded. I don't know. I guess it's a start. But I think this is the stupidest product I think I've seen in a long time. I guess as long as you keep it full of AAA batteries and it doesn't ever break, you're okay. So, and then you got to peel the Band-Aids off when it does, and then you have to start all over. So that's over on ogizmo.com. There's a good article on HTML facts and myths. I'm not going to go into this, but I know that I get a number of questions about HTML5 on a quite regular basis. And if you're wanting to learn more about HTML5 and what's going to be happening in the space and how your browser is going to evolve and how the media consumption is going to change, there's a lot of cool stuff coming. And HTML5 is going to really evolutionize, and it already is, stuff on people's websites. So I'll have this linked up in the show notes. You can check it out. It's from an article from Smashing Magazine. All right, those of you that are WordPress bloggers, you got to. Oh, this is a good one. As a matter of fact, the bloggers at Geek News Central are going to really like this. I'm going to install this plugin. It's called an editorial calendar plugin for WordPress. And Chris Brogan recommended this particular plugin because what it does is it shows the time and what articles were written on what days. It shows, you know, how stuff has been posted. It shows where you're missing something. This is going to be really good because we're going to be able to kind of track from a production standpoint when stuff is being put up. And, you know, it'll kind of prompt the, if someone's writing an article in advance, they'll know, hey, there's a big open spot on the 21st. I can set this up to publish on the 21st. Or the 26th or whatever date, and there's no one else in that spot. So I know I'm going to get top of the page exposure for so long. This is going to be really good. And it'll be in the Geek News Central website later tonight. You guys won't see it, but if you guys have your own blogs and you're having folks write for you, or if you're doing your own writing, you'll definitely want to check this out. This is a good one. And the only reason I didn't install it because I was getting ready for the show, but it'll be going in. So again, another one for those of you that are WordPress blog users. Hey, over on Torrent Freak, we talked about the beginning of the show of a new music downloading tool. It's called MULVE, M-U-L-V-E. And there's a little bit of mystery behind it so far, because not everyone, there was a little question whether or not it was some sort of malware, and it's been scanned. Like the folks here at Torrent Freak used 43 different virus scanners on it, and it came up clean. And what this thing does, doesn't use peer-to-peer. Apparently, there's some server sitting somewhere with a whole bunch of media on it, because you search for a track and a list of songs come up and a variety of different bit rates and quality levels, and you click on it and it just downloads. It's 1.9 megs. And again, I don't advocate anyone stealing music. You know, if you have a CD and you want to quickly get the content, get those, you know, those tracks, this may be an option. But boy, when something like this pops up, it makes you go, is this another trick by the MPAA, or who's the originator behind this? But Mulve appears to be operating on a donate basis. At the moment, currently it has a target of just $500 to raise, and it's selling advertising space. This thing's going to get crushed. You know, if it's going to get absolutely destroyed, because every person that's trying to download music is going to go out and get this. They say it's a direct download. So it's not something that can be, you know, it's not like you're seeding a file. So it's not like you're going to be seeing this. And I don't know how they can support this with the bandwidth costs the way they are. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. Mulve.com is where it's at. Only time will tell. Hey, great websites without any search engine optimization. And, you know how you get search engine optimization? You get 10,000 articles on your website over a number of years, and you just build search engine optimization through mass. That's how we've done it at GNC. But great article over here at Web Designer Depot. And I love his design. It's bright, beautiful. I just like looking at the website. It's cool. You can tell this guy took a lot of time in putting his theme together. But this is a good write-up here on capabilities that on things that you can do as a blogger and in what you're writing to help out to your rankings within the search engine without really using SEO per se. So let me actually switch this over. You guys will love this. Hang on here. Let me click that. All right, let's add a little fire to the show. for those of you who are watching, if you didn't watch the transition, you'll know what you have to back up and watch it. Hey, over at Kennedy Space Center, the workforce over there is reflecting on Discovery's final flight. And, it's a lot of these guys have been at Kennedy for a long time. And I have to laugh because this one of the pictures here shows a very young and fit Nick Thomas with a lot of very dark hair, looking very, cosmopolitan. And then you've got Nick Thomas 23 years later. And, well, Nick's kind of like me. He's got a little bit of gray hair on the side and a receding hairline. And but anyway, these are some great videos by the folks at NASA who are sharing their stories about their work with the shuttle space system, with the shuttle, and everything that goes wrong with it. Pretty cool. It's really nice. And it's over at universetoday.com. And I have this link up in the show notes. But it's nice to see these guys' reflections and ladies and their comments about that particular program, and you know how they're sad to see the Discovery on her last flight and so forth. But it will be monumental here, that when Discovery takes off here very shortly and for its last mission. But we'll be talking about more of that on the show as the launch date of fast approaches. Yeah, I always love to hear astronauts talk about their experiences, what they predict for the future. And I got a great article here by a conversation with Apollo's Jim Lovell. And it's going to be a multi-part series. I have this linked up in the show notes. This is another article over at universetoday.com. Now, as we look out in the solar system and we try to find exoplanets and we try to find life out there beyond our galaxy, you know, there is the thought process that some scientists have been wrangling over as well. What if someone's looking for us? And what would an alien's view of our solar system be like? And they built a simulation. And NASA did a pretty good job on this. And they basically said, okay, let's think about looking from the outside in. And I got a simulation video here that really explains how really we are probably pretty easy to be seen. And believe it or not, it has to do with dust. And dust out by the Kuiper Belt and interaction with a planet that's hanging out there, changing the appearance of the dust belt as it's Neptune, I guess. Neptune, the planet they said isn't a planet anymore? But anyway, Neptune is causing the dust to displace as it orbits in the galaxy around our sun. And that's how they feel that aliens will be able to see us from their vantage point. And it's a pretty cool video. Now, Monday, this is a big one, folks. And I saw this on, where did I see this? Oh, I saw it on a news site earlier today, and I didn't actually flag it. But check this out. Monday, we got to really pay attention because there's going to be a press conference where 7 prior military members who were at apparently some sort of Air Force launch site, in other words, where they maybe have Minuteman missiles or part of our nuclear deterrence, talk about UFOs shutting down nuclear silos, coming and checking out the sites, and how there's been this supposed massive cover-up by the Air Force and the government swearing these guys to secrecy to never talk about anyone that talk about these UFO encounters. Now, we've heard about these before. If, you know, this is stuff that's been rumors for years about how UFOs have always went over military bases. And, you know, there's, of course, the big story of the thing in the UK that happened. But there's going to be this at the press club on Monday. 7 individuals are going to tell their story. And they're going to demand that the U.S. government release their information. I can tell you what's going to happen. Just as a prediction, it was a fog bank. And these guys were all of a questionable character. You know, that's what you're going to hear. It's going to be disinformation. So we'll keep you advised. I'm sure I'll have that on Monday night's show. I'm going to try. Hopefully they have this thing streamed live and I can watch these guys. Anyway, fingers are crossed. Hey, I did got a bunch of press stuff from the folks at IVI. You know, this is a company that is battling for their life right now. And I emailed their press agent and said, hey, I want to do an interview with the IVI CEO on Friday for Saturday's The Morning Tech Show so we can play that. And he replied back, so, okay, I'll see if I can arrange it. And so far, I do not have an interview yet with the IVI CEO. You know, I don't know why he hasn't responded yet, but I'm going to send another email tomorrow. Say, hey, one last chance. Does he want to be on? And, you know, we've said, you know, good things here about them. We haven't bagged on them. So I'm hoping that the IVI CEO will come on the show and so that direct be on so I can present that to you guys on the Morning Tech Show on Saturday, which starts at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. Okay, hey, fantastic images of Saturn's South Pole. And I mean, these are absolutely stunning. All I can say is, wow, with a capital W-O-W. I'll have this linked up in the show notes for you. This is like, whew, very cool. It's a composite picture, but man, they did a number on this one. It's really, really good. All right, just one thing that we've been doing is at Geek News Central, is I have been forwarding press releases and I've been tying the guys that are the blogging over there to special events, trying to get them into events where there's product announcements. We had one earlier in the week that no one was able to attend. It was by HP, but I got all the press data once the show was over, and I threw it up in the blogger list, and I said, hey, guys, any of you want to take any of these, go ahead. And Alan did a write-up on the new HP DeskJet 3050. If you're looking for a new printer And, you know, I've used these all-in-one printers for years. And the HP I currently have, I think, is a 7780. It's been a great printer. You know, I live here in Upper Makakilo in Honolulu, and actually in Hawaii, and the red dirt up here is pretty bad. Matter of fact, I have to cover all the cameras up and everything after the show, and it's a permeation. It's a byproduct living in Hawaii, and especially the area I live in. So this printer we've got it covered, but there's only so much you can do, and it still gets red dirt on it. This thing I expected to last a lot less than it has because of the inundation of the red dirt. But this thing, it sits right by a window and keeps hammering away, works good. I've had nothing good things to say about HP DeskJet printers. They've worked really good. And this new 3050 is a nice one. It really is. And he's got all the specs here with it. You can definitely check it out. And it's got one of these remote print features. It's cool. It really is. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Of course, you can go straight to GNC, geeknewscentral.com. And I got to quit saying that, or that particular company will probably come on here and smack me around. But anyway, check it over to geekcentral.com. Hey, there's a new site. It's google.com/newproducts. It's where you can find all the new stuff about Google. No RSS feed, of course. Why? I don't know. But it talks about all the pet projects they've got, things that you can add. AdSense talks about search, talks about, you know, AdWords, you name it, that they talk about their new products over here. So I think this is a, you know, positive thing on Google's part, keeps you up to speed on the many things that they're releasing. And it's multiple pages in, anyway, again, google.com/newproducts. Boy, we're going to go long again. Hey, let's talk about Angel Gate. Mike Arrington dropped a bombshell, basically saying that a number of angels in the Silicon Valley were colluding, and he used that word, colluding, for price fixing and a whole bunch of other stuff that in some private meetings that they were having at a public restaurant. But anyway, long story short, it has been a firestorm of activity. Really, there is some very serious legal ramification if it's proven that these guys were doing this. The federal government can come in and people can go to jail. It is serious business. But there's been all kinds of articles on this, of people poo-pooing Michael Arrington, people saying, oh, yes, this is the real deal. But Derek Anderson at DerekAnderson.me wrote up basically, he said, looked at Michael's track record. And when you see this, it's very compelling. He's got a very good track record on these types of stories. And the shoe may have dropped this afternoon because an angel by the name of Ron Conway from Super Angels dropped a nuclear bombshell in an email that he sent out, basically saying, I'm ashamed of what you guys are doing, even though his partner was at one of these meetings. This is not good. We shouldn't be talking about the, you know, there's just, he doesn't really talk about collusion, but there's some stuff here that makes you go, what were these guys doing? And in my personal opinion, it's not good for entrepreneurs. So talk about term sheets and so forth. Anyway, if you're into this kind of stuff, I'll have a link up in the show notes. I'm sure you've been following it already, but this is big and it's going to get ugly before it's all over. A new site, the Likestream, has launched, and I think this is going to be cool. Likestream.com, and this basically is going to kind of be like a dig. You're going to put a Likestream icon on the website. You're going to pop it. It's going to go to the top of the list on the Likestream feed. If someone hits it again, it, you know, basically allows people to, for a better word, kind of almost Facebook dig our likes and what articles you specifically like on the site. So anyway, have a link up to that in the show notes. Got a whole bunch of stuff here. Apple's going to be doing a trial over the Pod trademark. This has been in work for a couple of years now. A company that had Pod in its name was sued for copyright infringement by Apple. So that's getting ready to go to trial here. Of course, those of you that are on Facebook and in a huge many of hours a day, you may have known that they were offline for a couple of hours, and it was a code mistake. So they're back online. They talk about that a little bit. That's an article in Computer World. Also, there's a study about texting has caused as many as 16,000 additional deaths between 2002 and 2007. Don't text. Be careful out there. And by the way, did you guys know that if you sleep on the second floor, and instead of sleeping in the first floor, you actually live a little longer? Don't get too excited, okay? If you get up higher, and if you live in the top of a, you know, like on the Sears Tower, or, you know, or something very high, you could, over 79-year lifetime, gain about 90 billionth of a second additional to your lifespan. So don't get too stressed about trying to live high. But then again, if you live underground, you have about 90 billionth of a second less on your lifespan, okay? So just I'll let you know there. I'll have this link up in the show notes. It's over at nationalgeographic.com. And yes, it has something to do with Einstein's theory of relativity. So I'll have that linked up in the show notes. A whole bunch of stuff here, but I am simply out of time far as regular content goes. One thing I will say, China's withholding vital export materials, crucial different types of elements that could cause the Japanese to have issues in manufacturing of different electronic goods. So that's not good. Got to share this with you. Canadians, you know you're not going to get Pandora, right? Like the folks in your crazy copyright rules over there, they wanted 45% of gross earnings from Pandora. Pandora said, forget it. We're out of here. So I have a link up to that in the show notes. Oh, boy, there's just a whole bunch of stuff I didn't get to yet. GPS devices on our cars and how the Justice Department doesn't want us to get a long-term warrant. It doesn't want to get a warrant for long-term tracking, so that's under battle. Also, don't write a bad review while you're staying in a hotel. You might get kicked out. And finally, a Windows Phone 7 and iPhone heads-to-head review over to pocketnow.com. All right, anyway, let me go ahead and get into the voicemail. I've got two, and we'll play these here, then we'll get into the email comments. Try to wrap through these real quick and get through the email comments as well before we run out of time. Again, if you got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is area code 619-342-7365. That's your way to call the show and leave comments and voice your opinion and bring your own articles to the show. And please do so. And we love to hear your feedback. All right, first voicemail is from Trucker Tom. Here we go.
Hey, Todd. Tom Wiles here, a.k.a. Trucker Tom. I'm listening to your latest podcast, and you're talking about an application, I guess iPhone, iPad application, that listens to ABC. Apparently, you authorize it, and you're watching ABC in the United States, and interactive stuff pops up. Now, of course, you have to own an iPad or an iPhone. Well, why can't they build that into the TV set? That would be the next step. That would be the, you know, really make it completely logical. Build it into the TV set. Why not? Then it wouldn't have to be listening to anything. It would just be getting the information directly. And then you could interact directly. So take an internet connected TV set and build some sort of an app right into it where it kind of interacts between you and whatever it is you're watching. Anyhow, keep up the great work. We'll catch you later.
Obviously, Tom was rolling down the highway when he called. Love to hear that truck shifting through its gears. Tom, be safe out there. I be honest with you, Tom, you know, it's probably going to happen sooner than we think, you know, because all these apps are going directly into the TVs. We know Samsung's making a big push. Matter of fact, we're building some channels or apps for Samsung. I think that it will happen. Now, will the general public want to have that type of feedback going on between them and the gatekeepers of that information. The thing I think about is if that was something actively on all channels, there could have become a time when you don't want that kind of interactivity. You don't want them getting information on what you're watching, whether it be political content, adult type content, whether it be religious. There's all kinds of concerns there that I have. I think the iPad app and the explicit information where you're actually authorized that one show to sniff on what's being said and then provide feedback, questions, and, you know, whatever else, probably opportunities to buy stuff. That is maybe more palatable to me now, but I don't know. You know, I can admit, you know, I'm sure we've seen movies before where a TV show's on and then they're using holographic images to put the ads on our walls and stuff like that. I just don't think that we're quite ready for that yet. And I don't want, I tell you guys what I watch on TV, but do I want them knowing, well, they probably already do through the set-top box, right? So does that change anything? Maybe not. Maybe they already know. So it is kind of curious, isn't it? Anyway, love to hear everyone else's thoughts on that too. And thanks, Tom, for calling. All right, here's the next voicemail. This one's a little bit longer, another 3-minute one. And then I have some email comments. Please, please, please try to keep them to a couple of minutes, okay? Here we go.
Hello, Todd. It's Hamid again.
Hey, Hamid.
Oh, I didn't realize that the thing was 3 minutes long. But anyway, first of all, that was kind of funny about the thing about the beach. Thing about the guy that was digging at some beach, you said, and they said he couldn't dig.
Huh?
But did they, I wonder if they figured out, I haven't read the article, but, because it was confusing, because the first that you said something about him, about the oil thingy, so did they figure
it out?
I guess I don't have to read the thing, but it's kind of...
All right, what Hamid's referring to is the guy that was a reporter that was going on the beach to dig and look into the sand to see if he could find oil in the sand, and he was told he was not allowed to dig a hole on the beach in the sand like we would do to build a sandcastle. So I'll continue with his comments here.
Odd. Or is it not allowed, period? Yeah, but that's kind of weird, though. If it is that it's not allowed, period, it's kind of odd. Yeah, well, that's what I was saying about the accessibility of stuff. On the PC, it's kind of okay, and you know what I mean? It does pretty much a lot of stuff that screen readers do, except for, like I said, about the installer. You have to install the operating system.
Right.
You can't do it yourself. You have to have somebody do it for you. And on the Mac, you can, because you can boot VoiceOver off of the DVD and stuff. And I guess it's part of the issue is that, I guess, since you lose the sound drivers, I don't know. But, I mean, you can boot Narrator right off the DVD once you get to a part where the computer wants to put your name in it and stuff. So, and so anyway, I mean, it'll be so many things to get into these whatchamacallit messages kind of thing. So anyway, but yeah, it's quite good on both sides, but people just want it to be more built in, like it is on the Mac. You know what I mean? That people are getting tired of having to pay extra more than what a sighted person would have to buy. You know what I mean? Come on, you just paid the $300 for the computer, but then if you have to get a screen reader, if you have to get JAWS or window eyes, you have to pay more, you know, $600 more or $1,000 or even, you know what I mean? So $800 or $1,000. Yeah, I mean, there's a few screen readers, but they're still in development. And it's still not on board. But anyway, so that was that. And as far as the media center thing, you know, the article where the guy was comparing different. The only thing I think that makes it kind of unfair is that you can use media centers in actual TV. I don't know if, can you watch stuff on the Roku, like actual TV channels and stuff, that stuff. And I don't know about the Apple TV either, but I think that's the only thing about those other things. I don't know. But anyway, so that's that. But yeah.
All right, Himi, thanks for the call. As far as the Apple TV and the Roku, basically they go on a HDMI 2 spot, and they're extras. That's where you can go get extra content. Soon that's going to be coming into the normal TV sets. It's just going to be built in. So far as the accessibility stuff, I don't really know. I don't have enough knowledge on the accessibility software to really comment beyond what I know already. I know we have a number of people that have accessibility challenges from time to time that listen to the show. So maybe we'll get some feedback from them. Thanks for calling, and hey, try to keep it to 2 minutes, okay? Also, got an email here from a number of folks. I've already volunteered to be part of the podcast awards, be a reviewer. So we're on our way to our my goal of getting about 30 to 40 people to help out. So I'll keep you advised on that. I got an email here from Barry. He says, "Hey Todd, just came across this news article that the Supreme Court is likely more than not to grant a review of a music downloading case." See, this came across that is more likely than not to grant, review of a music downloading case on Harper versus Maverick Recording. So I have that link up in the show notes. I got an email from Bree. She says, "Hey Todd, I have Sirius XM. Don't listen to Stern. Listen to him when he was a local radio jock around DC, but not since then. Don't listen to others. Do have Sirius XM free for 6 months. Came with my new car over a year ago. Got deals to keep it going since then. Listen to the 50s/90s music and other channels and news like US and BBC." And also Breeze volunteering for podcasts. We're thanks for that. Trucker Tom sent me, "Hey Todd, you already have a large collection of audio clips on your Mac and OS X. Go to the Finder in full screen, and in the upper right corner in the search field, type in loops, and you should have about 3 or 4 directories of loops." Who would have ever known? Thanks, Tom. I tested. I'm like, yeah, there's loops here. So I couldn't believe it. I was like, I didn't know those were there. So you learn something new every day. Ian sent me a link and said, "Hey, Todd, you can watch the Frontline program about for-profit colleges." He gave me the link to Frontline, the College Inc. article. I'll have that linked up in the show notes. Again, everyone, thanks for sending me your volunteers for podcast awards to be a judge and to work on that. And I'll let you know as we're what the totals are next week. But I'm really long and I need to get out of here. So everyone, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Was I more non-robotic? Did you have more fun during the show? I hope so. And it is what it is. But thanks, everyone, for hanging out. Everyone, take care. We'll see you again for Monday Live or Tuesday morning release of the content, so it's available for your podcatchers. Make sure you subscribe to the show at geeknewscentral.com. Again, my name's Todd Cochran. It's been my pleasure to bring you show number, 613. And we'll see you on 614. Everyone, take care and aloha.